of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're continuing our verse-by-verse exposition through this letter of the Apostle Paul to the church of Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll be looking specifically at verses 7 through 12 on what the model ministry is, how ideal ministry should look. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 12 today, but I want to read the whole section, verses 1 through 12, because they all really go together. This whole section, verses 1 through 12, describe for us the true Christian ministry. So hear the word of the Lord, beginning in verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether you, from you or others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Praise God for his word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your steadfast love. We thank you for your word. I pray now as we study your word, Lord, that this would not just be an intellectual exercise of those of us who are here, but instead, Lord, that you would open our ears to truly hear, open our minds to truly understand, and open our hearts to truly trust and to believe your word. And by the power of your Spirit, apply it to our hearts. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to begin with a few questions for you to consider. What does a faithful gospel ministry really look like? Or what does a faithful gospel minister look like? When you think of an ideal pastor, an ideal minister, what comes to your mind? Or just an ideal ministry, what comes to your mind? These are important questions for Christians to ask, for churches to ask, to consider, and to really try to answer. Some churchgoers, some church attenders, even some church leaders may answer that a faithful ministry looks like gathering huge crowds and huge numbers of people in one place in a building. They may say that's what ideal ministry would look like, is huge crowds and numbers. Some say an ideal ministry would be one that has big programs and numerous programs for every generation of people and fun activities. Some might even say an ideal minister looks like a CEO, a suave businessman of a business, a CEO in a spiritual sense. Now, is this what ideal ministry entails? Is that it? Is that its essence, some of those sorts of answers? What does real gospel faithful ministry look like? What should it look like? What does a godly faithful pastor look like? And not just the ministry of a pastor, but what does the model ministry of God's people look like? Well, the best place to find the answer to these questions isn't to go searching and seeing what church growth experts say or seeing what this church does or what this church might do or what they don't do or what they have done. It's not even, the answer isn't even what's in our own mind or our past experiences of what's been done or what we've experienced. But ultimately, the answer to this question of what is an ideal ministry look like or an ideal pastor, the answer comes from God's word. There we find the answer. And here in our passage this morning, the Apostle Paul gives us the answer. He gives us the answer as he defends his ministry as a true, faithful gospel ministry. He's defending it because most likely there were attacks against his character there in Thessalonica, those going to the attacking his character in the church. And as he describes his ministry to the church in Thessalonica to defend his gospel ministry, he's also describing to us what faithful gospel ministry actually is and what it really looks like. And here is the Apostle Paul's answer. His answer to the question of what gospel true ministry looks like in real life. And the answer is, it's marked by gentleness. It's marked by godly exhortation. You could say faithful Christian ministry can be summed up in these words: godly exhortation and gentleness. And this is the main idea of our passage, is the Apostle Paul exhibited the characteristics of a faithful minister by being marked by godly exhortation in faithfulness, or in gentleness, that is, to the flock. Godly exhortation through gentleness. And by exhibiting godly exhortation through gentleness, the Apostle Paul is modeling, not just for us as pastors here, but he's modeling for all of us as ministers, as God's people, as all Christians are ministers. He's modeling for us what the true manner of gospel ministry is. And my prayer for us this morning is really twofold. First, one is for us as pastors here of this church. This passage really has a lot of implications for the pastors of this church, that we would be examples of this sort of ministry by God's grace. But second, this passage isn't just for pastors of the church, but this passage is for all of us, for the whole church as a whole, for all of our individual members. If you minister, then this passage is for you, and all Christians are called to minister to one another, that we would all as a church embody this sort of ministry by God's grace. So may this be our holy ambition as a church, that we would have faithful ministry to one another through godly exhortation and gentleness. All right, so let's look at this text. The Apostle Paul begins by describing his ministry, what faithful ministry looks like, by explaining that his ministry is marked by gentleness. This is in verses 7 through 9. The Bible says this: "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work day and night that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God." I just want to remind you where we've been here in 1 Thessalonians. Our passage, verses 7 through 12. About what true gospel ministry really is. If you remember last week, looking at verses 1 through 6, we looked at what the true motivations of gospel ministry should be, which is ultimately the glory of God and not the glory of man, not to please men. And now the Apostle Paul, as he transitions in verses 7 through 12, our passage this morning, he's describing not the motivations that we've looked at of gospel ministry, but the manner of true gospel Christian ministry. So think verses 1 through 6 is the motivations for true Christian ministry. Verses 7 through 12 is the manner of true Christian ministry. And the Apostle Paul is painting for us by his own example of what the model minister looks like. And
and what the model ministry of a church should look like and be. Now, what's fascinating is, if you remember back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, that whole chapter, you could really say, was what the ideal church should look like. If you remember looking, going through chapter 1, the Apostle Paul thanking God for the church there. Remember, they were marked by their labor of love. They were marked by their work of faith. They were marked by those things. And the church of Thessalonica really was an ideal church, you could say, that we should model ourselves to. Well, here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, he's really transitioning, saying this is what an ideal pastor looks like or minister looks like. So he goes from the ideal church, model church in chapter 1, to now the model minister pastor of the church. Now, I want to say on the front end of this sermon is, I'm not preaching as one who has all this figured out. Okay, I'm preaching as one because this is in God's word and wanting to faithfully preach this passage to us. I'm preaching to myself more than anybody else here in this passage. Now, with that said, let's look at the first mark of what a faithful pastor, a faithful ministry looks like, and it's gentleness. Paul says this in verse 7. He says, "But we were gentle among you." Now, is that surprising to any of y'all here this morning? Of all the things the Apostle Paul could emphasize, could list when it comes to what an ideal pastor, an ideal ministry is, he mentions gentleness first. Gentleness. That might not be what came to your mind first. You don't really read too many books about that, about gentleness being the main mark of an ideal pastor, ideal ministry. Again, usually at the top of the list of maybe in our own minds, or you think of certain books, is maybe the ideal pastor is someone with a certain type of charisma, or the ideal minister of some of others is the one who has that personality who can really minister to people, or maybe looks, or again, maybe that savvy of business or social skills. Well, the Apostle Paul and the rest of scriptures say nothing of those qualities or characteristics for a pastor or for any faithful Christian to be, to minister well. Instead, the Apostle Paul says it's gentleness, that his ministry was marked by gentleness. Now, what does gentleness mean? There's a lot of misconceptions when we come to gentleness, right? Sometimes when we think of gentleness, we think of weakness. Sometimes that's what we think of gentleness. We think of passivity when we think of gentleness. But this isn't what gentleness is. Gentleness in the Bible, the opposite of gentleness in the Bible is not strength. Do you know what the opposite of gentleness in the Bible is? Violence. Being a violent person is the opposite of gentleness in the Bible. Harsh or even quarrelsome, you could say. Consider violence. Let's consider the biblical opposite of gentleness, violence. Violence is using your strength to do what? To hurt folks, to destroy folks, to injure folks. Gentleness then is actually not weakness, it's actually strength, but it's using your strength to help folks, to help others, to encourage others. Violence is strength that's used to bring death. Gentleness is strength used to bring life. Therefore, the best I've heard concerning gentleness, can't remember where I heard it, but it was strength under control. And you could just add, it's strength under control for the glory of God and for the good of your neighbor and for the good of others. It's tender, it's soft, it's loving affection for others, soft-hearted. This is why the Apostle Paul uses the illustration of a nursing mother to explain what gentleness is. Look at the rest of verse 7. The Bible says, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Now, what a beautiful picture of gentleness. It gets right at what gentleness is. Again, we hear the word, we have misconceptions. Then the Apostle Paul brings the illustration, says this is gentleness. Think of a nursing mother taking care of her own children. I mean, think of that picture. Think of a mother with her newborn babe. How's she holding that newborn baby? Gently, tenderly, softly. having that baby on her chest, nursing him. Now, the mother has great strength, doesn't she, compared to that newborn baby? She's strong. She can do whatever she wants with the baby. She's so strong, somewhat stronger than the baby is. But instead of using that strength to do whatever she wants with the baby, she uses that strength to what? To nurture the baby, to protect the baby, to continue its life. That's what a mother does with their own children. She loves them. How does the mother use her voice with a newborn baby? I mean, you might say, I've never seen a mother yell at a newborn baby with anger for not nursing right. Has anybody seen that? I haven't seen that. Even though mothers can get really frustrated with that, they're not yelling at the baby, are they? Instead, they use their voice not to yell at the baby out of frustration, but how do they use their strong voices? To sing lullabies to the baby, gently. To softly correct the baby, to put it in the right place, the nurse, to encourage the baby, to whisper to the baby. This gentle, soft song and voice to the baby as she nurses the baby. There's no anger or animosity of the mother towards the baby, even when the baby causes frustration. Instead, it's all love. It's all gentleness. That's what an earthly picture of gentleness is. Well, the Apostle Paul then in verses 8 through 9 applies that picture of gentleness to his own ministry. And ultimately to what true gospel ministry is for all of us. He says this in verses 8 through 9. He says, so, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. The Apostle Paul says the way that true gospel ministry exhibits gentleness like a mother, spiritually speaking, is ultimately that of sacrificial love. Notice the sacrificial love here shown in Paul's ministry. First, he says when he was there with the church there in Thessalonica, he was there out of love. And he shared not only the gospel to them out of love, but he says, I even shared my own self with you, all of my life, my soul. Paul writes, he says, I was affectionately desirous of you. Again, I shared not only the gospel, but even myself. It was out of love he preached the gospel to them. Not like these false teachers who do it as con artists for greed or for other reasons, but saying, no, we didn't treat you like that, but instead we were gentle, and I preached the gospel to you out of love. And he says, specifically, he shared his life with them in Thessalonica. Again, think back to the picture of a mother and her children, meaning he sacrificed for them. Literally, if you remember the story, the authorities were after Paul, after him to take his life. And the word for life here of sharing himself is that of a soul. He shared the gospel with them, but he also shared and bared his soul to them. He was laid bare before them spiritually. And what a contrast this is to an aloof CEO-type pastor who's too busy for the sheep. Instead, he's a mother to the flock, giving of himself for their good. You see, the Apostle Paul's spiritual strength is on display when he's bearing with others who are spiritually weak. It's when he is pointing others to sup of God's word. That's his ministry. That's what it's marked by. And that's what we should think of when we think of a pastor, a gentle caregiver, one who's nursing others spiritually with God's word. Now, what a contrast this is. It's a heavy-handedness, right? Or a heavy-handed pastor or minister who try to show their spiritual strength by making demands. No sacrifice of time or energy. They use their so-called spiritual strength to break people down, right? Instead of nursing them back to spiritual health and vitality. For this is a word for pastors. It's a word for myself, for our other elders of the church. We must be men who are gentle.
This is one of the qualifications of an elder in 1 Timothy chapter 3. The elder is not to be violent, but gentle. We need to speak to those we minister to, God's children, with gentleness. We need to do so out of love. And not just speak with gentleness, but live in a gentle way. Not in a way of domineering over God's people, but shepherding them, nursing them spiritually with God's word. So this is a mark of a faithful pastor, of a faithful minister, that of gentleness. And Paul continues the emphasis of gentleness, saying in verse 9, he says, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We work night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel." I think it's really continuing the illustration of a mother with her children. Like a mother who cares for her baby, she doesn't care for the baby to receive something in return from the baby, to burden the baby to give something to her. Instead, the mother cares for the baby just in sacrificial love for them, not expecting to be a burden to them. So too does Paul and faithful ministers serve night and day to be a blessing, not a burden, expecting something in return. Again, Paul most likely is defending himself against the slander that he was ministering for the love of money, for greed, that he was a spiritual con artist. He reminds them that when he ministered to them, he didn't expect anything from them. He wasn't trying to be a burden to them. Again, think of the gentleness of a mother. What are the hours of a mother to their nursing babe? 24/7, isn't it? It's day and night. You mothers have been there. Husbands and children have seen their mothers working day and night, laboring and toiling 24/7, caring and nursing for the baby, not expecting to get anything from the baby, but instead doing it out of love. The mother sacrifices herself out of love, sacrifices her time, her body, all of it. That is gentleness, the Apostle Paul is saying. And pastors and true ministers need to be like that. And what a beautiful example of gentleness is in that of a mother. I think of my sweet wife. She's out caring, being out with our youngest one because he's sick and ministering to him and caring for him. But I think of her, wherever she is nursing all of our different children as babies. And you know, it's a physical thing. It's giving of your life to them. It's a sacrifice of mental, emotional, physical, sharing everything with that baby. That baby is on your hip everywhere. It's like you become one almost. It's a life of self-sacrifice and love, working day and night to care for them. I mean, many of you can attest to your own wives, to your own mothers, to the godly women within our congregation. That is gentleness. That's gentleness on display for us. And the Apostle Paul says that right there is the perfect illustration of what faithful ministry looks like. That nursing mom with the baby, that's gentleness. It's sacrificial love. Now, what's the application here for us from this first mark of what true gospel ministry is, of gentleness? Well, I'll already address the fact that the aim here is for pastors and for elders of the church. One of the qualifications of the pastor is to be one of gentleness. This is the biblical standard of the requirements of a pastor. May this be what we have in view when we think of what a faithful pastor is, and not what maybe the world says or past experience says or those around us say. But when we think of what a faithful pastor is, we have this picture of gentleness, of a nursing mother. And not all the other worldly carnal ways we can think of. The second application here is that this should be the aim of all the members of the church, of all true Christians. I mean, Ephesians 4, verse 12, the spiritual leaders of the church are to equip the saints of the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ. All Christians are to be ministers, ministering, to be doing the work of the ministry, building up the body of Christ. And to do so, it's got to be marked by gentleness. That's what we need to be concerned. That's what needs to be emphasized of a true and faithful ministry is marked by gentleness.
So I want to ask you the question, are you a gentle Christian? Would someone describe you as a gentle Christian, as one who's marked by gentleness? Are you marked by spiritual gentleness, like a spiritual mothering of a caring for a baby? Or are you marked by heavy-handedness when you speak and minister to others? Or are you marked by harshness, a disregard for others? Or are you marked by gentleness of not just words, but of actions and affection for others, of sacrificial love for brothers and sisters among us? Now, may the Lord produce this fruit in us, because it really is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that we can't muster in and of ourselves. That's something the Lord must produce in us as a church and as pastors, but as all of us. The last point of application I want to make here is really kind of an earthly application, but it's implied here, and it's important, as we see in verses 7 through 9, and that's the worth and value of motherhood. Though this isn't the main point of the passage, the main point was to illustrate and assume truth of the value and worth of motherhood. It's almost like to get the main point, you must assume that motherhood is valuable and worthy. Right? And right now, in our culture, in our day-to-day, we have to even start there with even the illustration being used doesn't really correlate with us sometimes, because we don't see it as valuable and worthy. That motherhood can be ridiculed or looked down upon, really opposite to what the biblical view of motherhood is. I mean, for even this text can be so foreign to so many in our culture. That's what the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of God's word, uses to lift up, to say this is what gospel ministry is. Instead of seeing the role of mother as a caring for their children, our culture encourages mothers to not care for their children, but to kill them in the womb. The complete opposite. Instead of being gentle, our culture encourages mothers to be violent, to bring death to those they care for. But the Bible speaks of mothers as those who bring forth life, who are gentle. Fight this temptation, those who are mothers among us. Fight the temptation to be consumed with yourself, to neglect your children, to see your children as nuisances or drains. This is what the culture is constantly feeding you as women, is to see children in that way, not as gifts, but as burdens. As drains. But instead, we must see children, especially the mothers among us, see children as gifts for you to steward, to bring life to them, to gently care for them, to love and to nurture them. For the biblical view of motherhood is one to honor, to respect, to value. And we need to be grateful for godly mothers among us. For God has designed mothers to be specifically gentle with their children, to give of themselves to care for them. So I think it's just an important point here is for those mothers among us who are seeking to be gentle to their children, to care for their children, thank you. Thank you. You doing that is honoring the Lord, but you doing that in our midst is actually showing us an example of what true ministry is as you care for your children among us in the context of the local church. So thank you as a pastor, as a church. It's a godly example of what gentleness is. May the Lord bless the mothers who are among us to be those who give up themselves sacrificially for their children. All right, let's now move to this other primary mark of faithful Christian ministry. It's seen in verses 10 through 12, and it's that of godly exhortation. The Bible says this, "You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you and believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Here in verse 10, Paul transitions to this other important godly mark of a faithful pastor, a faithful ministry, and that's of godly exhortation. In verse 10, we see the godly aspect of this exhortation. Paul says, you know I was with you. I was holy and blameless. Now, that's a strong statement to say. But Paul said it because they knew him. They knew his ministry while he was among them. The apostle Paul could say in his behavior and conduct among them was worthy of the gospel. He's saying that his conduct among them was above reproach. Now, it doesn't mean that the apostle Paul was perfect or without sin. No one is. But when he was among them, he led by example of godliness. Once again, that's part of the qualifications of a pastor in 1 Timothy 3. Mainly they have the graces of godliness, of holiness, summed up in being above reproach. Paul was basically really saying this. He says, you know I practice what I preached. That I didn't just preach it for some other ulterior motive, but that it was my life. It was who I was, and I practiced it. He didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. He truly believed what he was preaching. This is a mark of a faithful pastor. Not perfection, but pursuit of holiness, of being above reproach. One who truly seeks to practice what they preach. Therefore, the opposite would be a pastor who's committing all sorts of sins, unrepentant, and really not believing what he's preaching and not applying it to himself, just thinking of others. The gospel really isn't his life. It's a profession. He's a professional minister. He separates his professional life from his real life, his spiritual teaching from his life, and lives however he wants. This is not right. This is actually what characterized the false teachers in Paul's day. They had terrible, sinful conduct. A mark of a faithful Christian ministry is the mark of godliness, holiness, blamelessness in their walk. The world should see a difference between us and it, is really what the Apostle Paul is saying here. If the world can't see a difference from us and it, then there's something wrong. There's a big disconnect there. Paul continues in verse 11 to give an illustration of what this mark of godliness looks like, and it's that in a father. Look at verses 11 through 12. He says this, for you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. I love these illustrations by the Apostle Paul. He starts with an illustration of a mother who says, that's gentleness and that's what you need to be like. A faithful gospel ministry looks like that of gentleness in a mother. And then the other mark, he says, is godly exhortation is a mark of ministry. And you want to know what that looks like? Look at a godly father. He uses both parents here to illustrate what faithful gospel ministry looks like. He likened his ministry to that of a father who exhorts, encourages, and charges his children. I want to consider each one of those, the exhorting, the encouraging, the charging, how it applies to the pastors, how it applies to the church as we minister to one another. First, exhort. Exhort isn't just giving information to a child, but it's calling them to action. It's summoning the child to obey what they've heard. It's instruction, but it's instruction with some force behind it. It's calling your child to do that which is right that has been commanded. It isn't just showing them how to wash the dishes or the information about washing dishes, but it's exhorting them to wash the dishes. It's a summons to obey the command, to obey one's instructions. Fathers are to instruct their children, call them to obey, exhort them. Second, the father is called to encourage his children. Now, this one's interesting because in our culture, encouragement isn't one of those things we put on the list of a father, do we? We think of fathers as those who might give it exhortations or instructions or commands. But here we're told that everyone in Paul's day assumed, just like the nursing mother takes care of the child, they all assumed that one of the roles of the father was to encourage. And it's interesting, the word encourage literally means soothing speech here. Soothing speech. But don't think of a mother's lullaby as a soothing speech. That's what a mother gives. But instead here, think of a soothing speech as like a rousing speech given by a coach or a general is maybe the better way to think of how a father gives a soothing speech, how a father encourages his child. He's to encourage his children with words, to cheer them up, to call them to persevere, to keep going. A father is to lead by his words of exhortation and encouragement. Think of the washing the dishes. It's when the child fails to wash the dishes correctly, the father comes about with words of encouragement, with saying, "Son, let me show you how to do it. You wipe here." Right, it's that encouragement. It's showing him. It's encouraging him. It's walking it through with them. And lastly, the father is to charge. Charge and exhortation are pretty similar, yet charge is a little bit more solemn. It's like someone personally testifying to do that which you have called them to do. It is a do this, for I have done it as well. It's saying, you need to do this because I have done it. I've shown you. It's really what you could say, a father practicing what he preaches. He's giving a charge of something that he has done. So the Apostle Paul takes this illustration of the father, and he says, that is what a true and faithful pastor and other ministers should be like. A faithful ministry is not just to be gentle. For a ministry that is only gentle, but does not exhibit godly exhortations, is a ministry or a pastor that's out of balance, you could say. It's still not healthy if you have just one of the two marks. Instead, a healthy Christian ministry is one that has godly exhortation in addition to gentleness. It's one that does have authority and speaks authoritatively with exhortations, encouragement, charges. Now, how does this look in ministry? Well, it's boldly proclaiming the word of God authoritatively as the word of God. A faithful pastor would be one who doesn't withhold the full counsel of God's word from God's people. It's like a father who's exhorting the truth to his children to follow. He's not holding any of that back. He wants them to know it all, to follow it. It's those who minister by not just giving information, but those who exhort to call God's people to follow his word by faith. And the faithful pastor or faithful ministry is not just one of exhortations, but of encouragement. Their words are filled with true words of encouragement. Again, not false flattery like we looked at in the previous verses, but true words of encouragement to encourage the soul of another believer. I think this is a mark we so easily forget in our day and age and in the Christian life, the great blessing of encouragement. We live in a time where people are just so self-obsessed, aren't we? So self-obsessed, so me mentality, so much that we're on our phones that we never care to even think of another person, let alone say words of encouragement to another person. That even thinking about what another person does and them might doing something good doesn't even cross our mind. And maybe the only times we think of others is when they do something bad to correct them. Think of a father who only does that. It's a father who's out of balance, not giving words of encouragement. The Apostle Paul says a ministry is one of godly exhortations and one of encouragement. This is what a faithful ministry should look like. It's giving words of encouragement. We need to be known as a people who give words of encouragement. Our words in the Christian life cannot just be exhortation after exhortation. But it must be words of encouragement, to cheer one another up in the truths of God's word, applying them to our lives, affirming that which God is doing in each other's lives. And the Apostle Paul was a great example of that. Look at the previous chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Those are all just true words of encouragement by the Apostle Paul. He says, this is what y'all are. This is what y'all have exhibited it. This is what God's done in your life. This is what he continues to do in his life. The whole chapter one is just words of encouragement. There's going to be exhortations throughout the rest of this letter, but that whole chapter was words of encouragement. The Apostle Paul was an example to us. Then lastly, there's the charge. We're to charge one another to walk in a manner worthy of God. And the charge is a personal testifying, for we too are to seek to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel and of God in our own lives. The Father leads by example and by his words. We too, as we minister to one another, are to lead by example. That which we exhort and charge, that we do also. The Lord Jesus used this as a parable of trying to take the speck out of our brother's eye when we have a log. We need to be those who are ministering to others, but also practicing what we preach as we exhort others. Leading by example in godliness and godly character and godly speech. So what's the application for us here? Well, first, again, for us as pastors, we are to have a full-orbed ministry here at this church. We need to be both gentle and doing so with godly exhortations. We're to speak godly exhortations with gentleness. We can't be one or the other, but both. We must have both motherly gentleness and fatherly exhortations. And it's here I really want to, you know, thank publicly the pastors and elders we have of this church. I think Brother Joseph just walked out, but Brother Joseph and Brother Paul, who exemplify this in their life and ministry. We can say they exemplify this because they've been among us. We know it. We've seen it. They're men who minister in gentle ways, not heavy-handed ways. They do it as self-sacrifice. They're marked by godly exhortation. They're not afraid to proclaim God's word and to exhort us from it and to charge us from it. They seek to practice what they preach. But if you really want to know what the godly picture, not a perfect picture, but a godly picture of a faithful pastor, it's, yes, we can see it with the Apostle Paul. We can see it among us with Brother Joseph and Brother Paul. But ultimately, it's in the Lord Jesus, our great shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. But I'm thankful to serve alongside these brothers and the pastor as we shepherd God's flock together. But second, this mark of godly exhortation should characterize us as a church. Right? Each of us here in the church, we're to be seeking to practice what we say we believe. We're to love one another by exhorting one another. We're to be encouraging one another, to charging one another. Our lips need to be filled with words of encouragement to one another in the Christian life. We need to exhort when we need to exhort to godliness. And I also want to exhort and encourage the fathers among us. Just like the example of mothers that the Apostle Paul gives, he also gives us the example of fathers, which assumes that the people knew the blessing and value and worthy of fatherhood. Yeah, it's not the main point, but he uses that to make the main point. And we got to know what the illustration is. And that's for our fathers. Those of us who are fathers, we have to fight the draw of the culture to neglect our children, to be passive with them. Instead, we need to be fathers who are present there, not just present being there, but need to be fathers who are exhorting, encouraging, charging them, instructing them. You are your child's authority, and use that authority in a godly way by instructing them, disciplining them in ways and in the word of the Lord. And also, don't forget to encourage your children, fathers. Give true words of praise and affirmation to them. For there's something about receiving words of encouragement from a father that just can't be replicated by others. And the role of fatherhood is one that needs to be honored and valued. It's honored and valued in the Bible. God made it to where we need fathers in the home. We need godly fathers who exhort, encourage, and charge their children to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. And like with the mothers, I want to encourage you, fathers among us. Thank you for your godly example for us. As you are exhorting your children, even here at church, in between our services, or even in the service itself, as you exhort your children, you're being a godly example to us of what actually true ministry is. Even by you doing that which is pleasing God and doing that what's best for your children, it's actually a godly example for us to remember what godly ministry is. And as you are encouraging your children, exhorting them, there's no perfect father or perfect mother among us, but I thank you for those godly fathers among us who are our examples. Those men who seek to honor the Lord and lead their families and lead their children. So thank you, brothers. Now, as we zone back out to the whole church, may we be a people who have a full orb ministry as a church to one another. That we're not a church that's out of balance or out of whack, right? That we're not just a church that's gentle, but we don't exhort. Or we're a church that exhorts, but we're not gentle. But that we exhort one another in gentleness. And you see this just throughout the scripture, speaking truth in love. There's always that combination we saw in the book of Galatians when you restore a brother in gentleness. Now you may be thinking, as I have thought this whole week in preparing this message, is who's sufficient for these things? Who can be all this? Who can always be exhorting in a godly manner in gentleness with all? Who's sufficient for these things? Ultimately, none of us are truly sufficient for these things. We're not truly sufficient to be a godly mother, a godly father, to be a model pastor, minister, ministry. No one can exhort in gentleness at all times. We're not sufficient for these things. That is why the Apostle Paul ended the section of true authentic ministry here in verse 12. He says, who calls you into his own kingdom and his glory. Though we are not sufficient, saints, for this type of ministry, we know one who is, and that's God. And that in which he calls his people to do, he will equip us to do it. He's the one who makes us sufficient for it. He's the all-sufficient one that grants us the ability and energy and godliness to produce that fruit in us to accomplish this. The one who calls us will equip us to that which he has called us. His grace is sufficient for you, Christian mother, for what he's called you to do. His grace is sufficient for you, Christian father, to do that which you are called to do. His grace is sufficient for you, Christian pastor, elder. His grace is enough and sufficient for you, member of this church, Christian. God's grace is enough. It's sufficient. It's enough because it is Christ who's the only perfect model of gentleness and godly exhortation. Now, we see godly exhortation and gentleness perfectly in the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter. I mean, you really could go to so many places in the scriptures to see the example of what model ministry looks like in the Lord Jesus. But let me just give you one. Matthew chapter 11. In verses 20 through verse 24, the Lord Jesus preaches hard words of exhortation. Hard words of woes. Calling the people to repent from their sins. Of judgment coming. These are hard words of exhortation. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, but I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than of you. The Lord Jesus did not hold back in his preaching, teaching ministry because he loved those he preached to and taught. And he warned them. He says, what happened to Sodom? It'll be even worse if you don't repent. To you. That's an exhortation, but Jesus' ministry isn't just about exhortations, is it? He didn't stop there. Even in the passage, Matthew 11, he follows up those tough charges of repentance with one of the most gracious invitations in all of the Bible. Soon after he gets those exhortations, guess what the Lord Jesus says? He says, come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me, I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am what? Gentle and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord Jesus, in describing his own heart, describes it as gentle and lowly. He's gentleness personified, perfected. The model ministry for us as a church isn't ultimately the Apostle Paul or the elders here at this church, but it's the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. And you want to see self-sacrifice out of love for his children? Look no further than the cross. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave up his life for us. He received the violence of men and the wrath of God so that we would have spiritual life. Christ died to bring spiritual life to us who were spiritually dead. That's giving of yourself sacrificially. That's self-sacrificial love. What Christ did on the cross. He died to bring a new birth of sorts for us, using his strength to bring forth life. That's gentleness. What wonder and amazement and beauty we see in the cross. For you, Christian, today, are you here? Are you downcast, discouraged, spiritually weak? You feel like you're barely hanging on to God by your faith? I have a word of encouragement to you. It actually comes from the prophet Isaiah. What he prophesied in Christ coming, he prophesied that Christ, the coming Christ, would be like this. This would be the manner of his ministry. He says this: he will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A faintly burning wick he will not quench. That's the manner of Christ's ministry to his children. Are you here today and you feel like you're a candle barely burning and the fire is about to go out spiritually? Do you feel like you're a reed that's bruised and almost broken and taken off? Well, if you feel that way, come to Christ, child. Come to your heavenly Father who is gentle. He won't put out that flame because of your disobedience or your weakness or your insufficiency. Instead, like a nursing mother, he'll take his arm around the flame and nurse it back, protect it from the winds, and nurse it back to full strength. That reed that was bruised, he won't just break it off, yell at it for being bruised. Instead, he'll take that bruised reed and try to nurture it back to full health. The truth is you're not the one hanging on to him barely. The truth is he's got a grip on you that he will never let go. And that grip is a fatherly grip of a child in which he will never let go, that can never be plucked from his hand. So go to Christ, child of God. Those who are not in Christ this morning, he exhorts you. Woe to you if you do not repent from your sins and rebellion against a thrice holy God who's created you, has been gracious to you. But also, he invites you to come to him to pick up the spiritual rest that your souls have been looking for. Turn from your sins, turn to Christ by faith and cling to him. This is the good news of the gospel. Why not come to one who is gentleness personified, self-sacrificial love seen in the cross for sinners like you? Come to him by faith. Let's close in prayer.